Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, please open them to Psalms chapter 78. We'll start off there. Psalm 78 this morning. There was this man who was going to work one morning, and he was pulled over by a state trooper. And the trooper walked up to him and said, "Hey, sir, did you not see that stop sign?" And the man said, "You know, I've been traveling this highway for 20 years, and I've never stopped at that stop sign. There's just no one ever there. It's just slow." And the trooper said, "Well, you will now." And he handed him a ticket. Well, the very next morning, the state trooper, he was called to investigate an automobile wreck at that same stop sign. And much to his amazement, when he pulled up to the location, he got out of the car and he went to the first car. And it was inside of it was the man who he had given a ticket to the day before for not stopping at the stop sign. And so the trooper, he asked what happened, and the man said, "Hey, don't ask me, ask the guy behind me. He's the guy that hit me from behind." So the trooper, he walked back to the second car, and he asked the second man what happened in the accident, and the man shouted at the officer, "Hey, it's not my fault that I hit the guy. I've been following behind him for 20 years, and he's never stopped at that sign before." A lot of times it's easy for us to get in a rut, just stuck in a rut where we do the same thing over and over and over. And so this morning I want us to discover what it's like beyond the limit. And just the things that we can discover that God has for us. But before we begin, let's shout to the Father, Psalms 150, verse 6. "Let everything that has breath..." Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we just stand in awe of your goodness and mercy, we invite you to be present among us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we declare as a church family, as prayer of faith this morning, that we love you. And we thank you for making a way for that love through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would reveal this morning his great love for us all today as we gather to worship the Word, in the Word, Father, as your words just penetrate our hearts. And so may our mouths begin to proclaim your everlasting greatness as this love rises up within us. And it's in your wonderful name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, all right, as we look at the book of Psalm 78, there's down in verse 40, there's this powerful verse, and it just reads simply this. He says, "How often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert." Now, in that verse, God is being grieved over something. What is it? It's because they limited the Holy One of Israel. And they didn't remember his power, the day that God had redeemed them from the enemy, and the history of what he had done for the Israelites. Today, you and I have a champion, and that is Jesus. And Jesus Christ redeemed you and I from the power of the enemy, our Goliath, who was Satan. And this morning, I would like for you to see with me the power of praying big prayers that go way beyond the limit that we normally are asked for. The power of asking in complete confidence that he is a strong and he is a mighty God. And my desire today is that the Holy Spirit will spark our faith, will awaken us, and stir inside of us, and stir inside of our spirit, and stir inside of our hearts. And for today, to believe something, to be able to believe something that goes beyond the limit that we think that is even possible for our lives, to awaken our spirit and to take the limits off of God and what he has for your life and my life. That's my message this morning, beyond the limit. And I want us to hear that we have the same problems today as that they did back in the Bible times, and the Israelites and people of the Old Testament, even the New Testament. We have the same problems they do. They're just packaged differently. Because in that verse in Psalms chapter 78, verse 40, we read that and think, well, that's too bad that they grieve God. But, you know, we often limit the Holy One of Israel ourselves. And if you notice, in Psalms chapter 78, there's this constant thing where the psalmist starts listing miracle after miracle. Once you read that whole chapter, there's all of these miracles that God has performed for the Israelites and that He has carried them through, He has delivered them from, He has provided for. Just a whole list of how God rolled back the Red Sea, of how God fed them with manna, how God was able to clothe them for 40 years, how God led them with a cloud by day and a fire by night, and how God did supernatural thing after supernatural thing for them. The Bible says they began to limit the same God. And God, notice the strong wording in verse 40. It says He was grieved. God was grieved. Why was He grieved? He was grieved because they provoked or they limited God on what He could do. They didn't give God the privilege to do everything that He wanted to do for them. He limited them. I mean, at one point, the people complained about meat so much that God said, okay, I'm tired of hearing you guys. You want meat, you're going to get it. He sent them enough quail. The Bible said it was up to their knees. He says, I'm going to give you meat till it comes out your nose. And so God is not limited in His ability, but they limited Him with their unbelief. God constantly called them in the Old Testament, Moses, I like you guys and Aaron and everybody, but the rest of them, they're an obstinate and stubborn people. He calls them that through the whole Old Testament. And when you understand that, then you can understand the truth of how He was not able to do everything that He wanted to do for them. In the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 37, how Jesus, He was looking out over the city of Jerusalem. But He could be very well saying it to us today as well, as He's looking out over America or one of our cities, when Jesus said, how often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And what Jesus is saying to them in that statement, when He said that, He says, I would have blessed you. I would have raised you. I would have protected you. Notice the words He said in the verse that you see up there. He says, how often I wanted to just gather you, but you were unwilling. You would not. The verse is saying, I would have, but you were unwilling. That's a phenomenal thing to understand once you realize that when you think of God and when you think of His unlimited power, and when He says, I would have, but you would not. You would not because you limited me. And if you're limited, that means you're running a deficit in some area of your life. And I want you to know that God is ready. God is bigger and God is greater and larger than anybody in here can conceive in their mind. And here's the scripture for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but just as it is written, things which the eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, and all that God prepared for those who love Him. We just can't conceive it all. I'll paraphrase that verse by saying, those who will not limit Him, because He's amazing. And then over in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20, it says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask, according to the power that works within us. The power that works within you, within me. In other words, don't limit God, because you can limit God's power inside of you. Romans talks about that when it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit, you're clutching down, you're cinching down on that power that's in you that God wants to perform in you. We must no longer limit Him. It's time to just turn loose and let God be God. Wednesday night we were discussing about how last Sunday when we sang, there ain't no grave that can hold us down, everybody really started getting into that. Great message, great for Easter. And we finally concluded that it was because for that brief moment, people let loose. People put their inhibitions down. People felt free to shout, to raise their hands, to glorify God. And I told Veda, I said, I was about ready to come get you and start doing a jig. It was amazing, that song. Just as every Sunday when the worship team performs songs to bring you into the presence of God, those aren't just part of the church agenda to sing. Those are primarily for you to prepare your heart for worship, to put all of those things out of your mind, and to worship the one true God in spirit and truth. And so many times people just want to mouth the songs because that's what you're supposed to do in church. But it goes beyond that. And what I'm asking today is for this place and for our church family to be charged to change that, because we are Prayer of Faith. That's our name. So that should be what we should do and what we're known for. The days of small prayers, the days of those little prayers should be over, and it's time to start praying those big prayers. And to receive some awesome answers to those big prayers which we bring before God. Just to take the limits off of God with no restrictions and no limitations within us. God, use me. Use me to pray for someone. Use me to minister to someone. And whenever you and I say that He is a sovereign God, that means God can do what He wants to do, where He wants to do it, and with anybody that He wants to do it with. And here's the big part. He doesn't have to ask anybody's permission to do it. He'll do it perhaps at a time when you least expect it. And I believe in the sovereignty of God. And I believe that God's power is limitless. And I believe that He has so much for you and I in our lives if we will just take those limits that we put upon Him off and let Him just reign as He should be reigning as your Lord and Savior in our lives. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 2, it's an astounding verse. Jesus was in God's skin. God in skin. He was Almighty God in human skin. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 27, verse 2, it says, and they bound Him and led Him away and delivered Him to Pilate, the governor. You know, and that's the last thing we want in this church, is a Jesus who was bound. Just as the Scripture said that man did to Him. And as a church, it's our responsibility to loose Him. No one wants to go into a church where Jesus is still bound. They want to go to a church where Jesus' name is proclaimed, Jesus' name is sung about, Jesus' name is celebrated, Jesus' name is proclaimed in the Word. We need to loose Him as a church. In our church, and around the world, Jesus needs to be free to heal and do as He wishes. He needs to be free to deliver people. He needs to be free to encourage people, free to bless, free to just raise up, free to move mightily among us. Because nobody wants a church that's dead, dull, and boring. even on a cloudy day or a rainy morning, Sunday morning. And I don't want to limit God, because somebody needs a miracle. Somebody needs salvation. You may be coming here for years, and then one day it's like, I need to ask God in my heart. I've been singing about Him, I've been talking about Him, I've been learning about Him, but I've never asked Him in my heart personally. Salvation. Somebody needs freedom. The enemy, if you're a believer, if you are a child of God, if you are a believer in Christ, if you have asked Jesus into your life, a demon cannot possess you. But what they can do is those unclean spirits can just swarm and swirl around you to make you just miserable. And so somebody needs freedom. Somebody needs healing. So we can do that by just starting to take the limits off of God this morning. Because we're here, we're gathered in His name, and so anything is possible. And I want a church that is not, where Jesus is not bound, where we bind Jesus through our unbelief. Oh, we'll come and we'll worship Him and we'll sing praises to His name, but that's about it, Jesus. Don't get wild on me. I got places to go after church. I got to go eat. I got to go shop. You know, that's about all you can do, and I'll be happy with that. We need to take those limits off. We need to toss away those strongholds. Excuse me. Those strongholds that have been instilled in us for years to provide the comfort of coming to church and the comfort of religion in and of itself. Because we bind Jesus with unbelief. We bind Jesus with those pitiful small petitions that we bring to Him. Imagine it like this. Just imagine that Bill Gates, the billionaire, got together with Elon Musk and Warren Buffett and a bunch of other billionaires, and they all personally invited you to come and have you share your dream with them, to come in with your needs, to come in just with the craziest vision that you've ever thought of, that you would come up with beyond all limits. And they're actually saying to you, I want you to understand what this meeting is about and why we've called you here. Because we have this enormous amount of money, billions of dollars, and we want you to come in and ask us for what you think that you need. And imagine you walking in the presence of those men, knowing that they have it and that you'd like to have some of that too. And you end up asking them, hey, anyone of you here got $5? $5 to get me a hamburger? Oh, I'm sorry. We look at each other and we probably wouldn't even do that. Some of us may say, hey, you got $10. If you lend me $10, I'll pay you back, I promise. Ridiculous. That would be, and it would be an insult to them. Well, what I'm talking about, the God of heaven, and we go before our God in heaven, and He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He is so mighty, we bind Him with our small amount of faith that we have, with those little dreams that we have, or low expectations, or those little bitty ant-sized expectations that we come to God with. It's like, I'll bring it to God, and maybe He'll hear it, and hopefully something will happen. And that's all we do. It's time for us as a church to get a fresh vision, to get a fresh dream, and for us to begin to ask for bigger and greater things. Because what happens is a lot of times we forget. We forget how He has blessed us in paying the mortgage off for this church last year. We forget about the enormous youth groups that we have had here many years back. And now He is growing a new generation within our church. That's why God gives us seasons in life, to never forget those little bitty blossoms that you see blossoming sprout up, and so they bloom, and then the tree begins to grow. We forget how when you ask this church to pray for you, or pray for your loved ones to recover or to recuperate, and we never hear anything, and we just like, I guess everything's okay. But we treat it as if it's just a small thing, or if it's just normally supposed to happen that way. We forget. How do I know we forget? Because it's seldom that we hear anything about that through testimony. We should testify about the wondrous works of God that He has done. I don't care if it's recuperating from the flu, recuperating from surgery, recuperating from anything that we pray, that you ask this church to pray for you about. Because let us not forget that we have a God that allows us to go beyond the limits that we put on God. If you ask the church to pray for you for this, then you need to testify to the church about Him answering that. One, it builds faith within the saints, and two, it gives God the glory. And a lot of times we steal God's glory through Him answering our requests. And so God is grieved. We've got to free Him to do supernatural things, especially in this hour that we live in today. And if we'll not limit Him, I believe that He'll do some phenomenal things for His people, because throughout the Word, throughout this Word here, when you read it, it's just chock full of stories and illustrations that remind us. And in our passage this morning, the Bible said that He was grieved. Why was He grieved? Because they limited Him. They didn't let Him do all that He had planned for the children of Israel and longed to do for them, because God is full of loving kindness and God is so full of mercy. And we forget about that in our lives sometimes. We think He's up there doing stuff and then our prayers is going to interrupt or bug Him. God's full of loving kindness. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 reads, And God is able to bless you abundantly. He desires blessing for us. So that in all things and at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God's not going to send you in life without anything to live it through, with it. He wants to provide everything so that you may do every good work. You'll never wear God out, I promise you. You'll never wear God down. Even if God were to meet every need in this room today, and every person who's listening today, if God gave you everything you need, He would not be for the less, because God is never the less. He is always the more. Amen? And when you understand that, you'll understand that He will always have more grace than sin. He'll always have more power than any problems that we have. He'll always have more mercy than any mistakes that we can make. He'll always have more love than you have hate in your life. He'll always have more supply for your need. He will always have more forgiveness than we have at failure. Because He's nevertheless, He's always the more. And that's why we need to stop limiting Him. Doesn't matter how big your desire is, He will never have to reach into His reserves just to get you fixed up. Angels are not going to have to massage God because He's so worn out from fixing all your problems. But what we do sometimes is we just limit Him with our unbelief. We limit Him by making Him so tiny and small in our lives every day. And God is saying, don't grieve me. Don't provoke me by limiting the Holy One of Israel. Everybody needs to believe in greater things, and everybody needs to pray bigger prayers. I think we're missing out a lot on that. And I just want to encourage you to always feel confident to ask God for gigantic things. He's not going to ask you, okay, that's a pretty big ask. What have you done for me lately? That's what man does. God is an abundant God. No more peanut-sized prayers. We boldly go to the throne of grace. It's not, I promise you, it's not like the Wizard of Oz where you have the lion trepidly coming down the hallway and when he sees the vision of the wizard, he gets scared and runs back. It's not like that at all. Boldly come to his throne of grace through the power of Calvary on the cross and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Scriptures tell us it's okay to come before God. You don't have to come to church three Sundays in a row before God will hear your prayer. He'll hear you. He loves you. This is a worthy message today for all of us. And, you know, you can choose to let it go in one ear out the other, but somebody's going to get it. Somebody, it's going to stick with somebody. Because God knows how to say what he means without having to water it down and apologize and to come up with some theology that throws the main message of what he wants to have you to have out the window. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says it like this. Matter of fact, let's just read that out loud. Is it on the screen? Yes. For with God, say that with me, for with God nothing shall be impossible. One more time. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Sometimes you have to voice that out loud so the devil can hear you too. Because he's listening. No challenge is too great. No devil is too big. But we still sometimes limit him. How? Through our prayerlessness. Our prayerlessness. Listen to what he said in John chapter 16, verse 14. It says, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Nothing. He says, the reason there's not a lot of happening is because you're not asking. Which tells me that we need to start asking more. You think about your problems. We'll talk about our problems all day, about our woes, about our ouches, about our ooies, about our this or that. We wallow in our bed having those sleepless nights, twisting and turning all night because your mind will not stop working. All of these pictures, all of these anxieties and fears start swirling in your mind because we don't have the answers to them. But he says, until now, you've asked nothing in my name. And you're limiting me when you don't ask me that. Jesus said that. Until now, you've asked for nothing. And then I find it interesting that he said, ask and you will receive, that your joy will be made full. He's saying, I want my people to be happy. I want them to be full. I don't want to walk around like saying, man, I've prayed for this for 3 weeks and nothing's happened. I'm just, oh. God wants you to be happy. God wants your life to be full. He wants people to be blessed. I want people to have the full benefit of everything that cross, that Jesus Christ laid his life down on Calvary, purchased for us. But he also said, if you don't ask me, and I love that he didn't say, you didn't ask me small prayers, you didn't ask me medium prayers, or he didn't say ask large prayers. He said, you decide. If you want your cup to run over, so you just need to order the big gulp, like at 7-Eleven. Let your cup runneth over. David said in Psalms, I'm going to have my cup running over. That's what I want. And so we need to go for the big gulp version. And you have to decide the way you decide is how you limit him, by either little prayers or by no prayers at all. Don't limit him. God says, you have limited me by not asking. We have to get that confidence. We even have to get that audacity to ask God before his throne of grace. Sometimes you just got to get that audacity to say, I'm going to ask God. I'm just going to ask him. Just like in Genesis chapter 18, God said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to wipe out that whole place. I'm going to burn that whole city down. They're totally wicked, totally vile. There is nothing good about that city. And just before he does it, there's this guy who says, well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to do something. I know he's mad and he's really angry and wants to just obliterate that city. And he says, but this guy says, you know, I have family that's living there. I have Lot and have his wife, his children there, and I need to ask God to save my family out of this place if he's going to destroy it. And so now he says, if I can find 50 righteous people, listen to how bold this guy's talking to God. He says, if you can find 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? Because God already said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for how wicked it is. He already made that statement. This is what I'm going to do. And God listens to this man. And he starts asking, God, can you find 50 righteous? Will you not destroy the city? And listen to what God says. Okay. And then Abraham, he comes back and he says, that was way too easy. How about if I can find 40 people? Don't you admire the persistence of this guy? Abraham says, if I can find 40 people, will you not destroy the city? And God says, okay, I'll do that if you can find 40. And the neighbor said, Ham said, well, man, I'm going to roll. If it's working, I'm going to go beyond the limit. I'm going to, God, if you can find 30, will you not destroy the city? God says, I will not destroy the city. I'll spare the city if you can find 30 people. Well, God, what happens if I can find 20? Okay, yes, if you can find 20 people. And I can just imagine God's probably sitting up there saying, well, here he comes again. Abraham says, if I can find 10 righteous people, will you not destroy the city? And God said, if you find 10 righteous people, I will not destroy that city, Abraham. And then the strangest thing happens in that story. Abraham stopped asking. Why did he stop? And you know what? When he stopped asking, God stopped answering. And God destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, Abraham, he could have went down to 5 people. He could have went down to 1 people. But he just kind of figured it was a lost cause, and he stopped asking. And God destroyed the city. God will always listen to you when you ask him for bigger and bigger and bigger miracles in your life. He'll always listen to you. For if he can do it with many, he can do it with a few. If he can do it with a lot, then he can do it with a little. But he needs somebody to believe. To believe in their heart and go beyond the limit. And when we ask, we need to ask big. And ask God not just to help you, but ask God to heal you. Ask God not just to add, but to multiply instead. Use the multiplication table instead of the addition table. Ask God not for a few, but ask him for an overflow in your life. Ask him for just more than enough. Just ask him, because the scriptures are full of people that did that. You remember the woman with Elijah. He said, get all the oil, jars you can, fill them full of oil. That ought to supply you. I know you're starving to death, but this will give you some a means of income for you to live by. But when she ran out of vessels, the oil stopped flowing. Get as many things as you can. When God says it's coming, don't stop. We need to be careful. We don't need to limit the God of Israel. We need not to limit, and we need not to be timid in doing that. We don't need to be afraid, because we need to ask God for miracles. So many people still treat God as the Wizard of Oz. And they're scared to ask him for anything. Scared to ask him to bless your home, to bless your family, bless your neighbors, bless our community, bless your state. We need that. Bless our nation. We absolutely need that. Bless our world. Oh, Father, we need that. Go beyond the limit. When you show up to pray, or when you pray at home, or when we have a quarterly night of prayer and show up here and pray for your nation, you may think that you're... What's that story about the starfish? You may just think And it doesn't matter throwing that thing back into the sea, but to that starfish it matters. And so when you petition God with your prayers, He hears you. Because we serve a mighty God. We serve a big God, and He can do anything. Because we don't know what all God can do. We just think we do. And we need to stop putting the limits on Him, the God of Israel, because He's mighty and He's powerful. And sometimes we just stop asking. Y'all, most of y'all, yeah. All y'all in here remember Jimmy Stewart. Maybe David doesn't. Jimmy Stewart, the old actor, famous Hollywood actor, he left all of his memorabilia from all the movies that he did, the props that he was allowed to keep and so forth, that he had ever done. And all of that, all of his just amazing things that he had accumulated through all of his years from those movies. And he left all the things that he had to a university that nobody ever heard of. And he was being interviewed one time, and he told the interviewer, he said, yeah, this stuff was just worth hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars because they're so priceless and they're so sentimental and they're just so iconic to these movies that have been made in the past. And while he was being interviewed, the person asked him, he said, I heard that you just donated all that stuff to this university. It's not a major university. He said, why did you do that? Did you go to that school? Did you speak there at one time for a ceremony? Jimmy Stewart said, no, I didn't go to that school. And the interviewer asked, he said, well, did your children know about all this stuff that you gave away? Did your grandchildren know? Why did you just give it to this university that really no one knows of? And Jimmy Stewart simply said, because they asked. They just asked for it. And I wonder how much we are living without just because we sit there and we don't ask God. And we put limits on God by not asking him. They asked me, so I gave it to them. And I wonder how many times God is up there saying, I wish you just would have asked, if you would have only asked me. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, it said, Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give your good gifts to your children. He said, just imagine, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? We have a good, good Father. And He will give us what we ask for. How much more? In that verse, Jesus says, how much more? There's an incredible story in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 of a man by the name of Asa who became diseased in his feet. And this disease became so severe that it became worse and worse. And this is what the text said in verse 12 of chapter 16. It says, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. For the 39 years that Asa reigned, Asa became diseased in his feet. And I guess, you could see this maybe spiritually as a type of walking by, not walking by faith, but walking by sight. And whenever we as believers get a disease in our feet spiritually, we start walking by sight instead of faith. And the scripture said that Asa's malady, it was severe, yet in his disease he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. Now, let me get this straight for you all. God is not against physicians. My daughter is a physician, so I have to say that as a disclaimer. God is not against physicians. God uses physicians in a mighty, mighty way. But at the same time, they shouldn't be the only thing that we think about or go to or check with. Physicians are trained to diagnose you, to use proven, to use possible treatments for you to use and maintain for the cure that's ailing your body. We should never stop praying and praying and praying. We should always seek the Lord and seek the answer. Because a lot of times, God heals us from the inside that will affect our physical side on the outside. Because a lot of things that we do from our heart affects our body and affects our health. And so, yeah, the doctor can throw treatments at that and try to take care of that as best as he can. But it's from the inside. We need to seek and ask that unlimited great physician named Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you and I. Ask him for miracles and ask him for long life. Just ask him for signs and wonders in your life and the restoration to your health. Yes, I am thankful. I am grateful for physicians, for surgeons throughout the world who do great and mighty things through the wisdom that God has granted them. I am thankful for prayers that we pray for the sick to be restored. I am thankful for your prayers that you prayed for my mother and as she's being recuperated and restored. She's doing very well. Matter of fact, she's doing better than she thinks she is. And we go to the doctor, and she tells him all the aches and pains she has. And the doctor, he just looks at her, and so do my sister and I, and says, "Do you realize how far you've come from having a heart valve replacement at your age? 80, she'll be 82 this year. Do you realize that you're walking?" She's got one of those little walkers that has rollers on it. You can sit down on board. I've got to kind of pace my step to keep up with her when she's on that thing. And sometimes we forget how good that we're doing because we're so focused on the pains that we have at the present. And like, "Mom, you're 82 years old. You're going to have pains." I'm sorry. That's just the way our bodies are built. The scripture even talks about that our body yearns and for the aches and pains like a tent blowing in the wind. It just, you know, creaks and moans and groans, yearning for our glorified body. And so there's some things that's going to happen, but you're doing so much better. And the same way with us is many of us are doing so much better, and we forget that we're doing better. Don't neglect the cure that God can provide you with either a miraculous healing or through somebody he places in your path. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Turn him loose and let him do those powerful things in your life and in the lives of others that you bring to prayer. He likes it when we come to him and show that we're depending on him because he is our source. He is the El Shaddai. He is the God Almighty in our life. And he loves it when you and I come to him. And so he can take us beyond the normal limits that we put on our minds with him. The book of Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. You don't have to turn there. I'll just kind of tell you about it. But the Bible talks about, and this is an interesting little section of scripture in the Word. The Bible talks about a woman who came to Jesus. And she had a demon-possessed daughter. And watch this. In that passage of Scripture, Jesus ignored her. Not only that, he pretty much referred to her as a dog. Because he said, "I am sent for the lost sheep of Israel." And this was a Syrophoenician woman, pretty much one of those outcasts. And Jesus was basically saying to her, "You're a dog. You're not a sheep." And he ignored her because Jesus was focused on his mission when he came to this planet Earth of what he was to do. So she comes to Jesus. And Jesus basically said, "You're a dog," but that doesn't stop her. She comes back again, and Jesus says these amazing words. He said, "It's not right to give the children's bread," referring to Israel, "to dogs." And church, let me emphasize this to you, that here's why this lady got her miracle for her daughter. It was because she had a perception of who Jesus was that was absolutely remarkable. For she knew who he was. And she knew how much power that he had within him. And she made this statement. She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs." In other words, she said, "Lord, I know who you are. And I know how powerful you are. And you can ignore me, but it's not going to stop me. I know that you are God in human skin form. And Lord, I don't need a slice of bread. It won't take a slice of your power to set my daughter free. It won't even take a whole loaf of your power to set my daughter free. All it will take is a small, itty-bitty, tiny crumb of your almighty power to deliver her." And in her heart, through her words, she was saying, "You are so big, and you are so limitless, and you're so mighty. And God desires for you and I to make our request to him from our heart through honesty, through being vulnerable, and through being open to him." Psalms 51:17 instructs that, gives us a word of wisdom by saying, it's through a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God will not despise. That turns God's attention to us, is when we speak to him with our heart. If I can just get a crumb from the master's table, I'll be so happy. Don't have to have a slice of your power, Lord, just a small crumb. I don't have to have a loaf. All I need is a small crumb of your mighty, mighty power, and my daughter will be set free from every demon that's tormenting her life. And the outcast woman, she received her miracle because of her perception of how great and how powerful Jesus Christ was and is still today. It was just a crumb. So we need to quit magnifying our problems. We need to start magnifying our God. Quit magnifying the enemy, how he's just after you and getting you down, and start magnifying God's power that he can deliver us with. Stop magnifying our needs all the time and start magnifying the supply that God gives us and has to us, so we don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Go beyond the limit, and I promise you that you're not going to break God out in a sweat. Go beyond the limit and ask him for big things in your life. Ask him for great things. Don't wait until you're in panic mode to go to God and pray. Approach him at all times in your life. Let's not, as the children of Israel did, let's not dine on leeks and garlic and onions. When Calvary, the cross at Calvary, purchased milk and honey for us instead. Because many times what we do is we settle on eating spiritual bologna and potato chips when Calvary purchased for us filet mignon and lobster. And we eat the bologna and potato chips because it's cheaper and it's easier. We don't have to do much to get that. And I know it's getting lunchtime, so you're probably thinking, he had to start talking about food, didn't he? Well, in closing, as the band comes forward up on the stage this morning, there's a story which you probably have heard, but it bears repeating. It's a good one. There was a man who got on a cruise, and he was so excited because he was leaving England to come to America. And he had family in America that he hadn't seen. It had been many years since he had seen his family, even since childhood. And he'd saved up enough money to finally go to America to see them, saved enough to buy the ticket, and he got on the boat. He had all of his clothes with him, had everything he needed to go to America. He bought all the food he could get because he knew he was going on this long journey for several days. It'll take a while to get there by boat. He was an elderly man, and he had seen plenty of hard times in his life, and he knew what things were like when they were scarce. So to keep the price down on his food supply, he brought an enormous supply of cheese and crackers. And for the most part, he had crackers in the morning and crackers afternoon, and that night he would have crackers and cheese for the dinner evening. And he would go to the cafeteria that was on the ship, and he would see all the people there dining on the buffet, and they even had a midnight buffet, and they'd come back to their table with their plates just heaping with full of food. While he sat there and ate his cheese and crackers out of his brown paper bag. And on the last day of his journey, the captain of the ship noticed him every day just sitting at that beautiful cafeteria that the ship had. And he would sit down with his brown paper bag and he would eat cheese and crackers when people all that were sitting all around him were eating all kinds of food that was just piled on their plates, just overrunning with food. And so the captain walked over to the man and asked him and sat down and he introduced himself. And the man told him the story of how he's going to America to see some family that he has not seen since childhood. And he started sharing some special memories that he had with him and so forth. And the captain said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, why don't you go up there and enjoy the buffet? I mean, there's all kinds of foods there for you to eat. And the man said, I didn't have enough money to pay for the food, so I wanted to make sure that I had something to eat, so I brought plenty of my own for the trip. And the captain looked at him with a sad face, and he said, oh my, he said, didn't anybody tell you that you've been eating cheese and crackers this whole time, the whole trip, when your ticket was bought, the food buffet came along with it. And I believe some of us are going to get to heaven. And when we get there, we're going to realize that a lot of us have been living on cheese and crackers. When Calvary, the cross of Christ, brought so much more to us. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory through Jesus Christ. We don't have to live on cheese and crackers anymore because Calvary paid it all. So what's holding you back? Take the limits off God this morning and begin to go beyond the limit. Maybe it's because you haven't asked for anything in a while. God will do it. There's no maybe. He's a powerful God. God turns maybes into miracles all the time. So who would say this morning, I just need to ask? And instead of praying those little peanut-sized prayers, we begin to ask for God for bigger and greater things and discover what God has for you that's beyond the limit. What kind of limits have you placed on your life? Is it asking Jesus in your heart to be forgiven? To become cleansed? To become a child of God? Have you ever asked Jesus into your heart? Have you limited him for that? Have you placed a limit in your life on coming back to God? Maybe through following through with baptism, or maybe limiting your obedience in the Holy Spirit. You just kind of put a stop sign there saying, that's about as far as I go, God. So this morning, as our prayer counselors come forward this morning, we're here to pray with you for anything. For anything. Because we are prayer of faith. Anything that's on your heart. And yes, you can say, well, I'll just pray for that at home. I'll pray. This is your church. We are gathered believers in the presence of God. Where two or more are gathered, there I am among you. We are in his presence. If you need anointing, we'll anoint you. If you If you need encouragement, we will stand strong with you and for you. So this morning, I would just encourage you not to hold back, but to release the anointing that's within you this morning. Let's pray.